This topic to me is fascinating. Is Jesus really the Son of God? I don't know if I was assigned the topic or if I asked for the topic. But when I started thinking about it, what a challenging topic it really is. And you might say, don't you believe Jesus is the Son of God? And I would say, yes, let's all go home. But that's not the issue. The issue is we're asking people, is Jesus really the Son of God? And we're living in times now when the answer isn't so obvious. I don't know if you've thought about this, but things are changing rapidly. I'm not talking just about politically. I'm talking about the DNA of our society is changing. I think we're going back to Babylon. You could say digital Babylon. The church is going back to Babylon. What are we going to do as a church, God's people living in a pagan society? It was mentioned that I started a class or was asked to, and I'm very privileged to be able to teach this class in Memphis. It's a class called Introduction to Christianity. And so I did. I wrote a book about it because I was coming in and doing a lot of lectures. And I said, why don't I just give them the lectures in book form and then we can come and talk about it. Let me tell you what happened this last spring, just to show you an idea of how important this very topic is. Had a young man in the class who came in, and we had about 9 people, none of whom were members of the church. None, not one. That's not uncharacteristic of this class. Very, very seldom do I get a member of the church in the class. I get all non-Christians, and the class lasts for 4.5 hours per class for 8 weeks. I told Ann when I come home, I just feel like I have been selling and selling for 4.5 hours, sometimes even arguing, because they start out the class and I'll pass out the syllabus and they'll say, oh, good, are we going to talk about women preachers? And I say, yes, in fact, we sure are. Are we going to talk about instruments in the worship? You know, we are. We'll talk about all those hot topics, and then it gets quiet when we start talking about the issues. But one young man came in and told me that he was a member of, he said, I'm an alpha. I didn't even know what an alpha was. But Alpha Phi Alpha. And so that everyone in the class knew, except me, what that meant. It is a group that's made up, it's the original social club fraternity for black college students. And in this case, with him, it's a very militant group. So he was coming in and he told me, I don't believe any of this stuff about Jesus. And I said, well, this is an introduction to Christianity. That's what we're going to talk about. So as this class started, he started arguing. The first day, he started on a diatribe, and he went off about how everything was foolish. And all the rest of the class was sitting listening to this. And at about halfway through at the break, I told him, I said, well, I don't mind you having an attitude. Think about this, though. We're just going to talk about it, and all you have to do is listen. Just listen. He said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to listen to your material, and I'm going to give you back what you think. I just want you to know I'm not buying into it. So that's okay. We went through the entire time talking about this, and when we got to the end, he had made the highest grade on all of the tests. And at the very last day, the 8th session, 4.5 hours per session, militant all the way through, at the end, he stayed around at the end, and he said, after everyone left, he said, well, I need to buy another one of those books. And I said, why do you want to buy a book? Kind of smiled. He said, well, my mother wants one. I said, you mean you'd been talking to your mother? He said, yeah, she wants to read that book too. I've been telling her what you've been saying, and she wants to read it. After that entire term, which I thought was a total wash, there was someone that was listening, and it wasn't the person listening, it was the mother at home. I got home and got an email from another young man in the class, that's this spring, that said, by the way, I was baptized last night. I need some information on churches in the area. And I thought, you know, at some point if you just plant the seed and someone else waters, God gives the increase. Well, we're living in strange times. Is Jesus really the Son of God? If you haven't purchased this book, and I'm not selling books, you ought to get it. Good Faith. It's written by David Kinnaman and Gabe Lyons. It talks about the kind of society in which we live. I listened to them in a seminar I came away saying they know what is happening with the younger generation. You say, well, that's not happening in Henderson, Tennessee. May I tell you, in Henderson, Tennessee, you have a collusion of all the people coming together. I came to Freed Hardeman from Detroit, Michigan. My parents were from Alabama, but I grew up in Detroit. So I came with a different thought process. I had to grow up. I literally grew up arriving in Henderson at the age of 17 and then growing up on this campus. But the book is Being a Christian When Society Thinks You're Irrelevant and Extreme. Kinnaman bought Barna Research Group, so they do very credible research. But Barna, George Barna, was pretty frustrated because he was telling people what society was doing, but no one was doing anything about it. Kinnaman bought the work and started saying there's something about the society in which we live. And he said, we're handling difficult situations now, and we need to talk about it. Number one, we've been nice. It's not enough to be nice. We need to be convicted. He said that there is a growing gap between groups, age groups, generations. Most of that has to do with technology. I know I come here 2 days a week and teach as an adjunct in the communication class. It's interesting how much they know about technology that those of us who are older don't know. Now, I know you may be on Facebook and other things, but I'm telling you, there's a way that people are communicating that separates people. And social media makes connection between groups very complicated. Last night, we had a group meeting at church, and we had 8 people in the group. One young man is 26 years old. We started talking about our groups and our friends. He said he has his closest friends, and he named about 8 or 9 of them. He said there are 12 in the group. His closest friends, he has never met personally. All of his friends are online, every one of them. I can't imagine that. That's why people are saying, the church doesn't need to get together. All my friends are online. That's a different world in which we live. Well, what are we going to do? Well, here's the interesting thing they bring up. I am getting to the topic, but I want to show you why this topic, is Jesus really the Son of God, a very important topic. What do you think it would, what percentage of people do you think finish these 5 major transitions in life by the age of 30? Leaving home, finishing school, becoming financially independent, getting married, and having a child. Well, it's changed over the years. You probably could tell by your own family. In 1960, 77% of the males had finished these 5 transition steps by the age of 30. 65% of females have. It would be interesting just to talk amongst ourselves and see where we are. I don't want you to say anything about it, but it is interesting how that's happened. I will tell you, those transitional points are challenging. It was mentioned that my wife and I dated 4 years on campus. I think we knew each other pretty well till we got married. Then I realized, wow, she's a lot different than I thought. And she's so much better than I thought. I'll throw that in there. But it's just different. So I went from in one month's time, I was running around in Benson Dorm with not much to do, just to go out and have fun, to the next job. I started my first job working at Freed Hardeman with Milton Sewell. I was working in the development office and getting married within a month's time. I told my wife, I said it was a difficult time, and she doesn't like it. She said, that makes it sound like it's a bad choice. I said, no, it was a great choice. I'm just telling you, those are huge changes in life to take one at a time. In 1960, 77% of the males. In 2015, only 46% of the males have made it through. 31% of females, which means people are making decisions. They're making it much later. If you were to ask junior and senior high, is Jesus really the Son of God? You'll get a different picture. Let me ask you, could you explain why you think Jesus is the Son of God? Is that very important? Well, the younger group was asked, according to Kinnaman, who is the most influential Christian leader? Who would you say? You can't use a Bible person. Who is the most influential Christian leader? This is the number one is Morgan Freeman. I don't know if you know much about Morgan Freeman, but they said the reason he is because he played God in a movie. In a movie. Now, if you watched movies, you'd know that the correct answer to that is Charlton Heston. That's the one that should be God. And the reason is he actually looks like God, doesn't he? So, I mean, that's the mental picture you get of who God is. Who is Jesus? Who is God? Who is the Son of God? Is Jesus really the Son of God? There are so many different websites now trying to sell our young people and anyone else that'll listen that Jesus is not the Son of God. Here are the top 8 reasons they say Jesus is not the Son of God. They say Jesus is not all-knowing. If you read the Bible, he doesn't even know when the end of the world is going to come. We know better than that. I'm not going to explain each of these. I just want you to know what people are dealing with. Jesus never said, I am the Son of God. I am the Son of God. He said, I am that I am. The Jews knew exactly what he was talking about. The Old Testament tells us not to trust the Son of Man. Jesus' own descriptive term for himself was the Son of Man. Son of Man also refers to others. Jesus was given authority. He didn't own it. Jesus sent to a specific nation, not to all of mankind. Jesus could not save anyone. Jesus' believers did not believe he was the Son of God. In Matthew 16, when the disciples gathered, Jesus walked them 4 days' journey to get to Caesarea Philippi and then said, well, who do men say that I am? Some say, but who do you say? And that's when Peter gave that great confession. And he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Is Jesus really the Son of the living God? That's exactly what Peter said. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. Flesh and blood hasn't revealed it to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say to you that your name is Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. They were there at Caesarea Philippi. If you had time to talk about that, you would talk to them about that. But that's where we are now. These are drive-by shootings at people who believe in the Lord. Will you worship Jesus? Or will you worship the one that Jesus worshiped? That's what people ask. God comes out of a woman. Sounds like he is a helpless baby. Is that a God? And then the God of the Bible comes from incest. Going back and looking at some of the Old Testament stories. My question is, we're the church. What are we going to do? You say, well, I just don't deal with those kind of people. Is that what we're supposed to do? I think we're supposed to do differently. I think we're supposed to be the ones going out and telling people. The psalmist said in Psalm 107, let the redeemed of the earth say so. Let us say so. We're supposed to, as we are going, teach. As you're going, teach. And as you're teaching, you will be baptizing, and you will be teaching them. So even in the Great Commission, there's something about that. Well, if I were to start at the beginning, here's what I want to do tonight. I have just a few more minutes. Utilizing the power of three, I want to give you 5 sets of threes. You don't have to write these down. I would like you to think about them, though. This is where I would start. Aristotle thought three was good. There's the power of three. You can't remember much more than three. Let me give you 5 sets of three. If I were to talk to someone about the Bible, here are the first 3 questions that I would ask. First question is, do you believe in God? If you don't believe in God, we have another step to go to. If you say you don't believe in God, we're just going to argue, and I don't want to argue. I tell the class that I teach, we have to ask these 3 questions, or we'll just be arguing all semester, and I don't really want to argue. I just want to tell you what the Bible says about Jesus. Do you believe in Jesus? There are many people who believe in God, but do not believe in Jesus. And rather than getting sidetracked, I have Jewish friends in Memphis, there's a large Jewish population. And they do believe in God. They just don't believe Jesus is God's son. As my friend Jacob told me, God didn't have any children. That's not much different than what the Jehovah's Witness would say in saying that Jesus was really Michael in the form of a man on the earth while he was here. And certainly, if you're Muslim, you wouldn't believe in Jesus as God's son. They say, well, that's foreign for me. May I tell you that more and more people are coming into our city with that conviction, and they're talking. We have a daycare at our church building, and we had, at one time, we had 80 children, and then we had a larger Muslim population move into the area, and we had at least 30 Muslim children coming in because we were a safe place, which meant that some of the people coming in who were not Muslim decided to take their children somewhere else. So our numbers reduced. We brought in people and said, this is a great time. We need to talk about how to talk to people about Jesus. We told the parents. We talked to them about Jesus. It's a whole new mindset to think about. But Jesus, do you believe in Jesus? And the last one, do you believe the Bible is authoritative? If we can agree on those three questions, we can talk about anything. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus as the Son of God. I believe the Bible is our authority. Now we have something to talk about. It's not you against me. It's what does the Bible say, and how do you interpret what the Bible says? Let's study the Bible. If a person doesn't believe in God, here are three issues that you have to deal with. If you don't believe in God, where did life come from? I'm not talking about young earth, old earth. I love biologists and biology students to talk about this and is the earth. We can talk about that all day long. Where did it start? The origin of life. Where was the beginning? And if where did this come from? Tell me that if you don't believe in a God. Where is the origin of consciousness? And then lastly, where is the origin of altruism? The idea that you would give of yourself for someone else. Dinesh D'Souza is one that probably has done the most in going around talking about these three issues. But he's taking what other people have said. If it's survival of the fittest, who is the first one to say, well, I'll give my life for the person that I love? Where did that start? And then three proofs. If someone were to ask me, how do you know Jesus is the Son of God? Number one, I'd go back to creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, how did that start? If you read Hebrews chapter 1, he did it through Jesus. It was through Jesus. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Or Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. All things were created by him and for him, speaking of Jesus. Creation. I would talk about incarnation, the birth of Jesus. I would say this was God who was in the form of God. Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, he emptied himself and took upon him the form of a servant and was formed in the likeness of man. I would talk about the incarnation, and then I would talk about the resurrection, someone coming forth from life, and history proves it. I would turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I would talk about 500 people that saw Jesus alive after his death. I think that's amazing. Proofs from just looking around the creation, incarnation, and the resurrection. And then there are three personalities that you have to deal with. The first is God the Father. You're talking about God. What is he like? Let's talk about that. And you say, well, I don't know much about that. May I just beg of you, there are young people, younger people, that want to have a discussion. You don't have to know it all before you get into the discussion. You have to talk about it and say, that's a good question. Let's learn this together. Let's go back and see what other people have said about God the Father. When you talk to a Muslim and you say, well, this is God, they're saying Allah, same thing. I would say, no, it's not the same thing. If you want a good book, the late Everett Hufford wrote a good book. That's a great Christ of the Quran. It's a good book to read. Elsie Hufford is a member of our congregation. We went to Detroit and took a group to Detroit of youth, went up there, flew her up there, at least the congregation paid for her to fly up there, and have a workshop for young people, our young people and their young people. And then we all went to a mosque in Dearborn, which is the hot spot of Muslim activity in the whole nation. But in Detroit and Toledo, Ohio, are two hot spots for Muslim activity and people staying there. I've been told that Dearborn is 85% Muslim. And that's what the imam told us when he came out to talk with us. I grew up right in Flat Rock, right between Dearborn and Toledo. So when I went up there, I knew what it was like. And my brother and I took them over there. We walked through this mosque. And we listened and talked to them about what they believe. Allah is not the same as the God of the Bible. And specifically then, when you talk about God the Son, now you've disconnected. Who is God? Is Jesus really God's Son? May I tell you, or just remind you if you already know, that is not a new topic. But it's not a topic that we have finished talking about. If you go back in time, there was a time in the second century when churches came together and developed the Apostles' Creed. Now, I'm not telling you the Apostles' Creed, and I'm not saying everyone should recite it. But at least you should be aware of, it wasn't long after the resurrection of Jesus Christ that people were struggling with these very issues. They were saying, what is the essence of Jesus Christ? This is the first one. The first documented time we have it is in 390 A.D., but it was quoted in the second century. Chunks of it were quoted in the second century. Listen to what they were saying. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. It goes on. This part, though, I just wanted you to see, they're dealing with who is Jesus Christ. People have always been dealing with who is Jesus Christ. And until the Lord comes again, we'll still be dealing with who is Jesus Christ. And I'm raising my hand as a brother in Christ saying, don't forget that that's what we're supposed to be dealing with. When someone comes up to us and says, is Jesus really the Son of God? We better know what the answer is. It wasn't many years later, Constantine, trying to bring all of the new empire together, had a council called at Nicaea in Turkey. It changed, but listen to the change they made. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty Maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, and then they added this part, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God. People have been dealing with that for a long time, and they've settled it that he is the Son of God. God the Father, God the Son, and then God the Holy Spirit. The three personalities of the Trinity. Trinity, the word Trinity is never used in the Bible, but the concept is all the way through it. There are three proclamations I would be concerned with. And I would talk with people about these questions, issues, proofs, personalities, and then these proclamations. Three times God speaks audibly, God the Father does, so that people could hear. One was at the baptism of Jesus Christ. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then he also speaks audibly at the Transfiguration, the top of the mountain with Peter, James, and John. When Peter says, let's build a tabernacle, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah, one for Christ. No, 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 no. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. The focus is on Jesus Christ. And then when Jesus goes to go to Jerusalem, he becomes troubled and he prays to the Father that he would glorify his name. God says, I have glorified your name and will glorify it again. He was saying, it's a done deal. It has already happened. Speaking of the future as if it's already happened. I have glorified your name. I will glorify it again. My point is that if you read the Bible, particularly if you begin in the Gospel of John, you're going to read about creation. You're going to read about incarnation. You get to John chapter 5, you're going to read about resurrection. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. That's John 1. And then verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's the incarnation. We beheld His glory, even as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You get to John chapter 5, he talks about this resurrection from the dead. There's something there that's wonderful. That's why John would end his gospel with these words. Many other signs, therefore, Jesus also performed in the presence of his disciples, which are written in this book. But these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. John started that book and ended that book with the intent of convincing his readers Jesus is the Son of God. That's a confession we ought to make today. And when people talk to us about who is Jesus, first thing that should come to our mind is, he's the Son of God. I don't come to this church just because I like the people. And by the way, this is a beautiful building. I'm thankful that you allowed me to come speak in it. I've never been allowed to come to the nice building. But I will tell you, I don't want to come here because it's a beautiful building. I want to come here in this assembly because this is a group of people that agree that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And it's through Jesus Christ that we access the Father. John 10, John 14. You can't get to the Father unless you come through Jesus Christ. That message is a message that we need to know, we need to believe, and we need to tell others. Maybe tonight you came and you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, but you haven't given your life to him. Maybe this is the time you want to be baptized, where you make contact with the blood of Jesus Christ. Or maybe this is the time as a baptized believer that you want to just say, I need some help. And I have brothers and sisters in Christ who love me. They don't claim to be perfect, but they want to be faithful. I need those faithful brothers and sisters to pray for me. Maybe that's what you want to do. And tonight, if you have a need and we can help, would you come while together we stand and sing?